This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
He has shown up. He is Aaron Rodgers, and he is in Green Bay, and he has gotten what he wanted or not. We discuss. It is Chris Carlin, Bart Scott on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance and the Barton Hahn Show. Their guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. We are just getting rolling on Aaron Rodgers and his 2021 season, and whether or not it will in fact be his final one in Green Bay. So he has shown up, and according to our Adam Schefter, some of the concessions, and I'm using air quotes when I say that, concessions that he has gotten from the Packers are that he would void the 2023 year in his contract, not 2022. So he wouldn't be a free agent after this year. The Packers would agree to review his situation at the end of this year. His contract's going to be adjusted so it creates more cap room now, but things would be put in place. They're calling them mechanisms will be put in place to address Rodgers' issues with the team. Is that therapy? What is that? Yeah. Couples therapy? Yeah. I don't know what that looks like. But
it's a mediator through mediation. That's like what a mediator would do. You don't want to go to a let the lawyers get all the money. So what would you describe like Aaron Rodgers' look that he showed up with? Because I have an idea kind of what he reminded me, what he was going for.
Yes, Aaron Rodgers showed up long hair in the back, and he also had a man bun, but it was kind of in the middle of the head.
Scruffy beard.
A scruffy beard, 1980s glasses from, I would say, it's probably a Jermaine Jackson music video.
Right.
And a t-shirt from The Office that says Kevin Malone versus the Chili. And that's, I mean, big respect to that. But the look wasn't exactly that of somebody who won.
So, I mean, you failed to talk about the sandals. So for me, when I saw it, I was like, okay, I see what he's going for. He's going for Passion of the Christ meets Macho Mania.
Boy, that's a heck of a combination to try to go for if that's what you're aiming for.
I mean, he thinks highly of himself. He's a very thoughtful
Jesus
guy.
And Macho Man Savage. I mean, I'm Catholic, but
No, I didn't say he was. I didn't say he thought he was Jesus. He looks like an extra from Passion of the Christ.
Okay,
it's like take everything off, put the robe on. Looks like Passion of the Christ. Got the Macho Man. You talk about the '80s glass. That's some straight Macho Man Randy Savage snapping to a Slim Jim right there.
Yeah.
But then he got the Air Moseses on his feet.
Yeah, he is missing the magenta and yellow striped hat that Macho Man would be wearing. And also, he's also missing a lot of fringe there. But having said that, did he win here? Because I'm not convinced that he did win here exactly what he wanted. Unless they're going to go out and do something, and we'll get to that part of it in a minute, he still has to be traded next year. And it's kind of
a wink, promise.
Is it a wink, wink? Is it in writing? How is that going to play out where the team just voided 2 years down the road, not next year, but he doesn't get to just walk away and do whatever he wants.
Uh-huh.
The team has to trade him. And he also, if he's going to determine where he's going, that's going to weaken the team's leverage.
Well, I think the reason why they got rid of 2023 is because how can you trade him if this was his last year, if you voided out 2022. So you have to have 2022.
Right, you couldn't trade him.
Right, because he's a free agent.
I would have thought that he would have wanted to be a free agent, and that's what he was going to hold out for.
Well, what they were going to say is, well, if we do that, then we can get nothing for you.
Yeah.
So you expect us to let you out of 2 years left on your contract and
right.
us get zero for you by letting you become a free agent. How about we'll take the 2023 off so then we can trade you, and if you're not happy, we'll trade you somewhere else.
So there's your compromise. But the point is this. Did he get what he wanted here?
I think in immediate fact, I think he knew it was no chance that they were going to trade him this year for assets that they can't use until the following year. So once he said the let's run it back, the last dance, that let me know that he was coming back. He was going to give it one more shot. And in the last dance, everybody knew that they weren't coming back. Everybody played underneath that premise. And maybe, just maybe, you know, the story works out. Maybe, like, listen, this was a team that was 13-3. You know, they got Brady to turn the ball over in the second half. They just got off to a bad start and ran into a buzzsaw early, gave up the touchdown before the half, you know, to, I don't know, it was like the fifth wide receiver. I don't know. It looked like Scotty McKnight, you know, their version of Scotty McKnight, ran down the field, touchdown before the half. Brady said, hey, we don't go for three, we go for 2-7. And then in return, he didn't have the opportunity to be able to go forward on fourth down. I know those discussions went there. But I think that this is a team that realistically with Aaron Rodgers, you can say it's probably the third best team in NFC, and the third best team in NFC should
be. Are they better than last year, though, right now?
I think they're the same. They're the same, maybe slightly better. But Aaron Rodgers did what? He gave money back. Maybe they signed Devontae Adams, but why would Devontae Adams sign back not knowing Aaron Rodgers' future? So we think, and Lawrence Riddick believes, that money may be for somebody else.
Well, let's hear from Lewis.
Other than the fact that he could possibly hit the market next year and or go to a team of his choosing if they decide to trade him, there has to be something else in the interim that he says, okay, this is what will make me happy over the next 4 to 6 months. Something's going on here. I think that, you know, the Devontae Adams contract cannot be the only thing that all of a sudden now is back on the table. Somebody else is coming to this football team, or something is going to change in a very tangible way to make it look like it's not just the same old thing that we're going to do like we did in previous years.
So who is that? You know, I'm with you. I'm with Lewis. It's not just Devontae Adams, because first of all, and you and I are in lockstep on this, if you're Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers is going to be gone next year, why would you sign long-term anyway? You'd want to get your money somewhere else. So I don't think it makes sense for that, but who do they bring in that actually helps them for this year to get better? And there is one logical candidate, and he plays in Cleveland, Bart.
He plays in Cleveland, and I like it. Like, this is how let me propose the trade, right? So I'm looking now. I'm looking up at the old football track, looking at the salary cap. Okay, right? How can Cleveland get what they want and what they need, and how can Green Bay get what they want and they need? In a rare player-for-player trade. And the player that would probably give Cleveland – everything they want is Preston Smith. And people are saying, who are Preston Smith? Preston Smith is opposite to Darius Smith, the starting pass rusher. Remember, they both had, like, the first year there. Now, he had a down year last year, but he had maybe 15 sacks the year before. His salary cap number is $15 million with an $8 million cap hit. Right, so so now Cleveland gets that much needed. Remember, they lost Olivier Vernon. Yeah, they brought in Jadeveon Clowney, I believe. Right, but we don't know. We can't really depend on Jadeveon Clowney. So you go there, and then you look at Odell Beckham. Do you have Odell Beckham's contract up?
I'd have to pull it up.
Odell Beckham,
12 sacks 2 years ago, 4 last year for Preston Smith.
Right, but Rashawn Gary is starting to take the next step. He's starting to see the light going into his third year, the ninth overall pick. They can feel that easy. So they can have their pass rusher that they need. But then you look at Odell Beckham. Odell Beckham salary cap hit is $15 million. His base salary is $14 million. So you're plus six. So you can fit that under the cap. And that's a rare player for player.
So let's talk about that for a second. The fit of Beckham in Green Bay versus the fit of Beckham in Cleveland. And you have talked about this a lot.
Doesn't fit.
Odell Beckham doesn't fit in Cleveland.
They get worse.
Why does Odell Beckham not fit in Cleveland?
Because Baker Mayfield forces the ball to him. He doesn't allow the ball to go where the defense dictates. And when Odell Beckham, you know, got injured, the ball just went to where it went, where it was supposed to go. I mean, you got Njoku, you got Hooper. I mean, Hooper, right? You got Hooper. You got Jarvis Landry, which, you know, for the West Coast offense off of play action, you want guys that's running underneath, the guys that got that yak yards. And I think Odell Beckham is great to stretch the field. He can do what Landry can do. But Landry's made his career on being able to catch the short stuff and get the yak afterwards. So I think, you know, when in Odell Beckham's absence, you know, it allow younger receivers to kind of take the next step. This is a team that wants to run the football.
Remember, they've got Donovan Peoples-Jones, who had a pretty decent year last year. Rashard Higgins. You mentioned Hooper and Njoku.
And they want to run the ball. They're going to run the ball 35 times with Kareem Hunt and with Nick Chubb.
Can you imagine this pass rush here if you actually did do that trade?
Yeah.
You're talking about Myles Garrett and Clowney. Tack McKinley's there now.
Yep.
Malik Jackson is there now.
Yep.
I mean, that's a lot. That is a dominant,
they lost Sheldon dominant Richardson. Pass rush. They lost Sheldon Richardson, right? They thought he was going to cut him and re-sign him. But if you bring in a guy like Preston Smith, now you have backup, a guy that can come in and spell both sides.
So this is an interesting scenario for Rodgers to have made this move to want to create the cap space. Now, listen, this is something he could have done back in March easily enough.
Yeah.
This is why I wonder if it was all worth it, but I guess the coming weeks will bear that out. So do you blame Rodgers more or do you blame the Packers more? And what about Odell to Green Bay? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Shane in North Carolina is thinking about it. Shane, you're on Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio. What's up?
Hey, Chris. Nice to talk to you, Big Buddha. You're growing on me. I'm kind of liking you a little bit more now.
I'm what they call an acquired taste.
It's like an algae. It starts off a little dot, a little speck, and then before you know it, it's consumed your whole arm.
Completely grown on you.
Well, the acquired taste is definitely fine, man. So good job, man.
Appreciate that.
Bart, man, how's it going, man? Can't wait. I had to wait a good amount of time here on the phone. But
we appreciate the wait.
Called in.
We're going to give you extra, time. What you got?
Well, y'all stole a lot of my thunder when I talked to your producer here about putting the trade in for Odell Beckham, because a lot of things that y'all said were what I felt, that with Odell in Cleveland, it just seems like Baker was forcing him the ball all the time. And when he got hurt last year, all of a sudden Baker actually started to play. I would know that because I had Baker on my fantasy team and could have used some of his second half scoring in the first half last year. And obviously that's what Aaron Rodgers, this whole thing started with, is the fact that they didn't take a wide receiver to help him out and took that Jordan Love cat.
I mean, you talk about Davante Adams and Mercedes Lewis, who's one of the best, even at his advanced age, you know, tight ends at setting the edge, but also making himself available for a 5-yard dump off and things of that sort. Aaron Jones, that would make their offense like elite because it allows all the other ones, the Scanling, you know, all the other guys that are free agents, it allows them to be complements, right? Remember what it was. It wasn't that, you know, the Green Bay Packers didn't make enough plays. Remember, the balls were dropped.
Yeah.
You know, balls dropped in the end zone. They didn't make the big plays. Odell Beckham has a knack for making the big plays. And this would be the best quarterback. Yeah, I know he played with Eli Manning.
But let's talk about that for a second.
Well, the representative that formerly used to be Eli Manning he played with.
And he couldn't stand Eli Manning because he made that very clear. The real issue here is this. If you're Odell Beckham and you can't make it work with Aaron Rodgers, that's when your career is going to be over.
Yeah.
You know, because people are going to look at you like, wait a second. This is the best quarterback you've ever played with and one of the best in the history of the game. Now, having said that, if you're Odell Beckham, you also have to be licking your chops at the idea of playing with Aaron Rodgers, because those numbers opposite Davante Adams are going to go through the roof this year.
He's going to get the scrub. And like when Odell Beckham plays for Cleveland,
the guy on the opposite side.
Yeah, he gets the guy.
Yep.
Right? So the safety is going to be leading to Davante Adams, who Madden rated the number one receiver in the game, who, you know, most experts and scouts think that he's the best receiver in the league, passing Hopkins because he can run deep. Hopkins is a possession receiver at his best. You know, Adams presents a vertical threat as well as being able to catch the tough catches as well.
You know, all of this talk has kind of brought up an interesting point about this season with Rodgers now going back and quarterbacks around the league. We mentioned Baker Mayfield. There's a good amount of pressure on Baker Mayfield this year.
Oh, he needs to get that money.
Let me ask you this. What quarterback in the league right now is under the most pressure coming into this season? Because we're gonna think differently about this, but for the same reasons.
Well,
I'm going to let you answer first. That's very magnanimous of me.
It's got to be, for me, it's guys that's under pressure, man. You think about Jimmy G, because he's quarterbacking for his future and trying to hold off the youngster.
There are a couple guys like that.
You got
Sam Darnold.
You got Cam that, if he doesn't do it there with all the weapons that he got there, this is the best roster that he'll be on. Right? Yep. We know he's not going to play for $3.5 million again for anybody.
Right.
So he's fighting to maybe even be – remember what the second – chapter Michael Vick was. It mm-hmm. was that of a backup, and it was that of a guy that didn't even know the playbook when he was with the Jets. Yep. That's where Cam is headed. If he can't, you know, prove that he's still a starting quarterback at the young age of 32 for a quarterback.
Who else?
Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston is under fire, replacing a legend. You know, guy that's 26 years old, the dude's first overall pick. I mean, he's a guy that's thrown for 5,000 yards but just turned over the ball. We think that the year underneath Drew Brees would have maybe told him, hey, Bruce Aaron ain't right. No risk it, no biscuit. You can get a biscuit when you don't risk it. You know what I'm saying? And lean on the rest of your team. So he's under pressure tremendously. And to your point.
You know who the best one? You know who has got the most pressure this year?
Who's that?
Daniel Jones.
Ooh. Yeah.
Daniel Jones has the most pressure, and I'll tell you why. From a few different reasons. Number one, they have brought in talent around him. They brought him Kenny Galladay. He obviously had a receiver drafted in Kadarius Toney. Mm-hmm. They still have Shepard. Evan Engram, I understand, still talented and, you know, still a unicorn, so to speak,
well, he
and a healthy Barkley.
Well, yeah, well, you know,
who's going to catch 75 passes if he's healthy.
And the key to this is Randolph.
Right.
You know,
Kyle Rudolph.
Kyle Rudolph, right? Because now he allows Evan Engram to just be a bloated Kyle Pitts.
But it
allows him to be able to release. And so now you have – When you go with that, the Tiger personnel, you're able to throw Galladay out there, Toney, Shepard, and you leave Rudolph in, then that helps you to be able to have protection for Daniel Jones and Saquon. So you can release four into the route and keep Rudolph. I don't know why I keep saying Randolph.
Yeah.
Rudolph in, and now you know that he's going to be able to secure the edges, and you're going to be able to pass the rock. So now you're going to have six guys in protection, four out in the route. And that creates tremendous pressure because Galladay can win one-on-one. Shepard can win one-on-one. And we ain't even talked about Slayton going deep.
Yeah.
That stretches the football field. That's, I believe, one of the most underrated. He reminds me of a young Tyler Lockett.
But also think about the rest of the implications for him and for that organization. This schedule for the Giants actually sets up pretty nicely where he could win games. And you have all of that to work with. It is year three. You took a step back in year two. You had an injury. You have been maligned for your inclination to fumble the football and turn it over. Bart, tell me if these numbers for Daniel Jones are fair to expect, not hope for, to expect in year number three for a team in the NFC East. 65% completion percentage, 4,000 yards, 30 touchdowns, 10 picks, 5 or less fumbles.
Yeah, I mean, that's –
expect.
Mean, it's really the fumbles that really frustrate you with Daniel Jones.
He went from 12 to 8 last year. To me, Daniel Jones, when you look at the fact that he's in year three, and if he does not show the improvement with all of these weapons around him, you can kiss that contract goodbye.
Yeah, and then
you're fighting to be a backup in the league.
Yeah, and then the Giants are looking for an upgrade.
Your replacement next year because they have an extra first-round pick.
We just saw this happen. We just saw this happen with Sam Darnold, and we saw this happen with Tua Tagovailoa. If this team isn't, like, top, like, in the playoffs, then, and they're picking in the top 10, it's going to be a problem. But I did this a couple of last week, right, when I was hosting KJZ. I want people out there that believe or like Daniel Jones and believe in him. I want you to take a look at Josh Allen numbers the year before he got Stephon Diggs. And they are eerily identical to those of Daniel Jones in the year before he got Kenny Galladay. So if you say, hey, getting a number one overall wide receiver makes a difference and Kenny Galladay is in the same stratosphere as Stephon Diggs, then you can expect Daniel Jones to throw for 4,800 yards because Diggs was worth plus 1,000. And remember, Josh Allen fumbled the ball a lot his career, too. And remember, he was eerily inaccurate. Well, when you don't have receivers that can get open and create separation, you're throwing it to tight windows, you know, the odds are that you're not going to have balls completed. So when I go here and I look at – so in year two, Josh Allen was 58% completion rate, 3,089 yards passing, 20 TDs, 9 picks. Right? If you go to Daniel Jones is, I believe, 3,027 yards passing with no running game, right?
Yep.
And so, like,
11-10.
Yeah. And when you think about it, like, a lot of people think that Josh Allen is so much bigger than Daniel Jones. They're pretty much only 10 pounds apart. They're both 6'5", and we know Daniel Jones.
Mobile.
Right. We know Daniel Jones got up to 21 miles an hour faster than Lamar Jackson. So it's not like I'm comparing apples to oranges. I'm comparing apples to apples. That's the type of productivity I expect. Not because maybe Galladay may not be as good as Diggs, but I damn sure know that Saquon Barkley is better than anybody that Buffalo has in that backfield.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. In addition to Aaron Rodgers and who you blame about the entire drama of the last several months, Rodgers or the Packers, which quarterback, in your estimation, is under the most pressure coming into this season? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Chris Carlin, Bart Scott on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Up next, Bartholomew, the NBA draft only a couple of days away, and with it, some potential for some draft night trades.
Detroit basketball.
You better hope for Cade Cunningham, man. You better hope he's the truth.
Don't mess it up, man. Last time they were in this position, Darko Milicic. Doe!
No, they had the number two pick.
Yeah, yeah. And Doe!
Doe is right.
Because they still passed on Wade Bosh.
I think Darko Milicic is actually Russian for Doe! Chris Carlin, Bart Scott on ESPN Radio. All of that in just moments. Audio files in just moments. Your calls in just moments right after Bart tells you about our friends from Credit Karma.
Who doesn't want instant gratification? If you're looking for satisfaction, there's no need to wait. With Credit Karma Money, you could win cash reimbursement for debit card purchases. Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can win daily instant karma purchases reimbursements on items up to $5,000. Just go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and win, and you have a chance of winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase is necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. Banking services provided by MVB Bank, Inc. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply. Back after this. Audiophiles, get excited, people.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
Dun, 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 dun. We all know that one. Simpsons, baby.
Love them. Love them. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776.
Who's our guy that does all the voices?
Hank Azaria.
Yeah, that's our guy, man.
He is. Hank is our guy.
Is that show still on air?
The Simpsons?
No, not that one.
Brockmire, he wrapped it up after four seasons.
Okay.
He just, this past year, it just finished up. Tremendous show. What a show Brockmire was. Oh, as good as could be. 888-SAY-ESPN, Chris Carlin, Bart Scott on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Let's do some audio files.
The audio file. The audio file.
NBA draft is this coming Thursday night. Zach Lowe of the Zach Lowe, the Low Post podcast on the possibilities of Ben Simmons, who the Sixers, by the way, cannot seem to get in touch with right now. Simmons, the possibility of getting moved.
A lot of trade talk. I think if there's a name that is certain to be in play, already in play, that's the name. And I think the struggle for Philly is going to be you know, they're dealing him from a position of weakness after we all saw the playoffs. We all saw that he didn't shoot in the fourth quarter. We all saw the free throw shooting. And so this idea that they want an all-star in return for their all-star, I think they're going to have trouble finding an all-star who is both available and gettable without tossing in some picks and other stuff atop Ben Simmons. Obviously, they're going to wait out the Bradley Beal thing like everybody else, but they'll have a lot of competition for a player like that.
Yeah, I don't get the notion that, and I don't think he has no value, but I don't think he has anywhere near the value that the Sixers believe that he has. And boy, if you had some truth serum right now for Daryl Morey, and you had a chance to go back and trade Ben Simmons for James Harden, boy, you know he would say that he would have done it.
In a heartbeat.
Yep.
Oh, man, because they would have had a big three. Tobias Harris and James could have went there and provided that point guard role.
He's got to be kicking himself over that one. Man. Then there's more with Damian Lillard. What exactly are the expectations as far as him moving? Here's Zach Lowe on that. This, by the way, was all on Greeny yesterday.
The best intel we have now is this is not a this offseason thing. Mm-hmm. And that the Blazers will have this season, at least up until the trade deadline, to prove to him, however they might be able to do it, that they can build the kind of team that he wants built around him. Now, they have a lot of obstacles to doing that. Their contract situation, their trade asset situation is a little rough. But I don't think as of now, like, this could all change. He's around guys in Team USA. Like, the NBA changes fast. But as of now, I would expect Dame to start the season with the Blazers, which really means the trade deadline, unless something goes completely haywire, is when you'd first see real noise again.
Yeah, listen, I have to tell you, I really respect the heck out of the fact that Damian Lillard is somebody that hasn't gone and run at the first sign of not being able to win a championship in Portland. He's really tried to make it work. Bart, even if he comes back from the Olympic Games and is going to try to get moved, I don't blame him one bit.
Yeah, I mean, he's been a good soldier, much like Bradley Beal has been in Washington. So, I mean, you look at both of those stars, I mean, they can't really pair up because CJ McCollum's there, right? So, I mean, unless you're going to trade one for one, but then really, how far are you? You need a big three. You know, it's odd that maybe Bradley Beal may want to get moved to Los Angeles. I don't know if they have enough to give
There's
up
a lot of Golden
Beal.
State talk with Bradley Beal, too.
That'd be crazy, right? That's just like getting Dame.
But let me ask you this. If that's enough just to say that, for instance, they were talking about the 7th and 14th pick that Golden State has, and then
Wiseman
and maybe Wiggins. But is that too much? Is that not enough? If you were
not,
I mean, the 7th and 14th pick are not going to light the world on fire.
Not for a big three. I mean, we looked at the big three last year. I mean, a couple weeks ago about Dame, Clay, and Curry.
Mm-hmm.
Curry, Bill, and Clay ain't that much different. Right?
Yep.
And, you know, Bill is 6'5", so he gives you a little bit more size. Well, you can play small, but he's like James Harden. He's a strong 6'5". So
if
he
you're
can play
Washington,
bigger than that.
You'd have to be in love with Wiseman.
Well, but you restart it. And you're also trying to say, okay, if you do that, then what can you get back for Brody to the Lakers? Because that would mean that we all know that Chris Paul isn't going maybe to the Lakers. That may not be able to happen because they don't have the money. But you can trade Brody over there as well, right? And that's where it's kind of – well, I'm sorry. Let me explain to everybody. That's Westbrook.
Right.
That's Russell Westbrook.
Well, but do you think LeBron would want to play with Russell Westbrook?
Yes. He's a triple-double machine.
Yeah.
He's a guy that's a straight-up pit
bull.
But
you know how it is. There's always the knock on him that guys don't want to play with him.
Yeah, he doesn't space the court. But I don't – listen, LeBron never had a problem with anybody. Brody's going to understand what he's there to do and understand LeBron is the leader. And for the first time, he's probably the compliment and not the alpha male.
Simone Biles earlier today at the Olympics, such a tremendous story. And the all-time great Simone Biles pulled out of the women's team performance today. The U.S. women ended up finishing second to pull down the silver medal. Here is Simone asked about why she did pull out of the performance, or rather competition today.
If you could sort of tell us, was there any injury? That was one thing we wanted to know. And if you can elaborate on maybe the stress you've been feeling. We all know when you're in the spotlight, we can imagine what it's like.
No injury, thankfully. And that's why I took a step back, because I didn't want to do something silly out there and get injured. So I thought it was best if these girls took over and did the rest of the job, which they absolutely did. They're Olympic silver medalists now, and they should be really proud of themselves for how well they did last minute, having to go in And it's been really stressful, this Olympic Games, I think, just as a whole, not having an audience. There are a lot of different variables going into it. It's been a long week. It's been a long Olympic process. It's been a long year. So just a lot of different variables, and I think we're just a little bit too stressed out. But we should be out here having fun, and sometimes that's not the case.
And she had to do, had said it, a lot of it had to do with mental health. In this moment, still yet to be seen if she's going to compete on Thursday in the women's all around.
Well, you know, because we've opened this door, I think it's, and we should have opened this door, right, where athletes don't look at themselves as robots. They're more in touch and in tune with how they're feeling, right?
Yep.
And they're not suffering in silence anymore. And they feel like, hey, if I need to take a day, if I can't do it, stressful. Remember, she's been the best, and she's America's best chance to win multiple gold medals. She's been the best gymnast in the world for a long time. And, you know, the weight of her shoulders, or the weight of the American gymnastics women's division, is on her shoulders.
And she's been the biggest story in all of these Olympic Games.
Right.
And NBC is counting on Simone Biles to be a big factor. That's immense pressure. And what did Michael Phelps talk about after going through all of that? Mental health being a big issue.
But the thing is, Michael Phelps never bowed out. He continued to go. That's the difference. And you know,
Maybe she needs to hit the reset button before Thursday.
Yeah, it'd be some traditionalists that'll say, like, well, Michael Phelps still answered the bell. You got to live with pressure. This is what we signed up for. Like, you know, you get all these endorsements. And remember who lit the torch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was Osaka lit the torch, right? You know, the best tennis player in the world, arguably one of the most famous women athletes in the world, definitely the biggest earner, had to take a break.
Last one is from Paul Feinbaum of the Paul Feinbaum Show. And
show.
It has to do, of course, with Texas and Oklahoma, who have formally asked to join the SEC after 2025. They may not have to wait that long.
It's possible it could happen next year because this thing is going to dissolve. And listen, we've all been there before, whether it was dating in high school or working at a job where no one wants you. You don't want to be in an environment, no matter what's at stake. And it's detrimental to every side. So I think they'll find a way, and usually money is going to ameliorate the bad feelings. So it's entirely possible Texas and Oklahoma could be in the SEC a year from now, which is just mind-boggling considering where we were, Jordan, a week ago when almost nobody knew about this story other than the commissioner of the SEC and the presidents of Texas and Oklahoma.
I am going to make a prediction that by 2023, the Big 12 will not exist. I think we're going to have four super conferences by then, and you will see the Big 10 come in and pick off a couple of teams like Iowa State. You will see the Pac-12 try to stay alive and make sure that it's not three super conferences.
Yeah.
And they're going to try to do everything they can. The only play that the Big 12 would really have at this point is to go after somebody big from out west. You think USC is joining the Big 12? Mm. I don't think Oregon's joining the Big 12. I don't see that happening.
Yeah. They that's the thing. They can't get, like, who cares about Oregon State? They got to have a big dog. Now, really, Oklahoma State becomes the number one spot. You can see them going over to the Pac-12, maybe.
Yeah, I can see that. But there's,
with that beautiful,
you know, Kansas
offense
to the Big Ten.
Yeah. Ooh, I mean, maybe the Big Ten might want to have the Jayhawks in that division going against the Michigan Wolverines.
I mean,
Nick Saban, that'd be a hell of a conference for basketball.
That'd be a great conference for basketball. Bart and Han on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. Up next, Rodgers is staying put, but what's going on with Deshaun Watson? Is he on the move sooner rather than later? We get insight when we join you in just another moment. It is Chris Garland, Bart Scott on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Bart and Han.
In West Philadelphia, born and raised in a playground when I spent most of my days chilling out, maxing it. Oh, my bad, I was ahead. Playhouse when I spend most of my days chilling out, maxing, relaxing out, cool ass puppy.
We've only got like four minutes.
That's true. Oh, my bad.
I'm right there with you. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Barton Hahn is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Chris Carlin, Bart Scott, let's hit the calls. Quarterbacks under the most pressure coming into this season. Decker is in Montana up next on Barton Hahn. What's up, Decker? How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, fellas. Thanks for taking my call. So the quarterback who has the most pressure going into the season has got to be my man, Lamar Jackson. But my question to you fellas is, why does he have the most pressure? The guy is 24 years old, has a 65% career win percentage, and he's the second unanimous MVP next to 2007 Tom Brady. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
You got it. I don't know that he does, other than from a contractual standpoint, but do you – there are things that everybody needs to get better at. Maybe his accuracy downfield needs to get a little better.
Well, the pressure is that we've made the excuses that he was throwing to nobody, that Hollywood.
Right.
I don't forget Hollywood last name.
Brown.
Yeah, Hollywood. Marquise Brown. Yeah, that Hollywood Brown was too small of a target and really more of a slot receiver. Mm-hmm. So what did they do? They went and got him, Sammy Watkins, former like top 10 pick. And then they went out and got him Bateman on the outside. Two massive guys that's over 6 feet that has a huge catch radius. And he also has Andrews. So now it's more about what he does with his arm and not what he does with his legs. But they didn't address really on the defense side of the ball. The pass rusher, we thought that they would get one of these older guys, Ingram or Houston. They are still out there. I can see them signing one of them. But, for them to win, they've had one of the top defenses.
Well, Melvin Ingram's in Pittsburgh now.
No. That's what I'm talking about. He's not out there, but Justin Houston is still available.
Right. Houston's still there.
So the fact that they can, he's going to have to prove that he can beat people with his arms, and they can beat people offensively, not defensively. Because defensively, they're just good enough to lose to Kansas City.
Paul in Atlanta, what say you?
I say the biggest quarterback that's under pressure is Jimmy G. I mean, you think about this. If he fails or has anything short of an NFC championship game, not saying that they're going to have to win it, but they've already got the built-in trade. Rodgers wants to go there. Jimmy G fails. They dump Jimmy G, and Trey Lance for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers is not going to end up in San Francisco.
Even if
you wanted to, it's not going
to
happen.
You know how much draft equity they gave up to move up to get Trey Lance? They gave up future first-round draft picks. There's no way that Aaron Rodgers can go there. But Jimmy G has like a 90% win percentage. I think he's only lost four games or five games as a starter. Now, granted, one of them was in the Super Bowl. But the pressure for him is to prove that he can be a starting quarterback somewhere else.
Yeah, and that he's going to earn a contract somewhere else.
Maybe Houston, right? Going back and linking up with his Patriot people. Mm. You know what I mean? Kyle Trask, whoever they got, Jalen Mills, David Mills, whatever. He's not locked in there. And what if they lose Watson? Oh! Never mind. 10.
What do you mean never?
It's 10, 5, 4, 3. We'll see
it's
you guys
Barton
tomorrow.
It's Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
We need a bonus time. We need extended show.
Okay, now you're done.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.